So Rabbi said, we're learning Pesachim of Hamad Beis, but as is Kadarkeinu B'Kodesh, we quickly realize that we're really learning the Beis and the few Beis. How many times has it happened that we're learning one daf and we realize we're learning a different daf and a different Masechta? So that's exactly what's happening here. We realize that the only way to understand Pesachim of Hamad Beis is to really truly understand what's going on in Beis and the few Beis. And of course, the Machlokes in Beis and the few Beis, you tell a guy, you know, tell me, what's in Beitz Daf Yud Beis? And the guy can't say the Machlokes Rashi and plays what we take is, then he clearly did not learn Daf Yud Beis. So Rashi Shita is, that we take is a Ma'atel Lagamre, Hakol, Mikol, Kol, whatever you want, Tzarech, Nishtar, everything's good to know. And Tzarech says, no, not so fast at all. It's got to be a Tzarech Hayom Tzas. And that Machlokes impacts on Chometz, because Tosha says in the Hamad Beis that if you want to burn chametz on Pesach and Yom Tov, you better make sure it qualifies as a Tzarech Hayom. Whatever you think Tzarech Hayom means, it's got to be a Tzarech Hayom Tzas. And then Tosha and the Ran fight it out in Ksubas. The Tosha and Ksubas against the Ran of Pesachim. Is it mitzvah Rabbanan called the Tzarech? Everything that was going down that line of requiring Tzarech Hayom Tzas. And Rashi on the other side stands strong and says, Tzarech Hayom Tzas, you don't need Tzarech Hayom Tzas. You don't need any tzarech hayom, zero. V'tayach shehutra otzor, v'tayach adam shalot tzarech, shalot tzarech min shalot tzarech klal v'klal. So we're running machlekes between Rashi and Tosfos. What's the nekudas of machlekes all about? So yesterday we began to try to connect this machlekes to the lomdicha question, what is the very nature, what's the very essence of the het v'echol nefesh? Is echol nefesh basically boiled down to there's absolutely nothing wrong at all with cooking on Yom Tov. There is nothing wrong with lighting fires on Yom Tov. There is nothing wrong with carrying on Yom Tov. It is totally, completely permissible. And as the Rabban put it so succinctly, it was never included in any issue whatsoever. Malach Zavayda Ksivin. None of these activities are Malach Zavayda. That was the Ramban's approach to the Sugya. What do we take a little bit more limited approach and say no? Echol Nefesh is not the greatest thing in the world. It's kind of a little bit of a conflict. On the one hand, the Torah doesn't really want us to be doing melacha on Yom Tov, and really Yom Tov and Shabbos should have been the same. On the other hand, the Torah wants us to enjoy Yom Tov. So therefore, the Torah kind of looked the other way and said, okay, go ahead and cook on Yom Tov. It's all right. You know, nishka ferluch to cook on Yom Tov, because it's more important to eat on Yom Tov than it is to observe melacha's Yom Tov, so to speak. That's a very dechuya kind of a model. It's a very, very, you know, shasa chaktika kind of a model. I didn't say it's osur. The same way I didn't say it's also to drive to the hospital on Shabbos. But our mindset towards how we view Echol Nefesh is radically different whether we go down the route of the Ramban or whether we go down the other possible route. And we said the Anisha yesterday that may be ultimately what's going on behind Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. That Rashi takes the attitude that there is nothing wrong with carrying on Yom Tov under any circumstances whatsoever. The Rashi seems to be buying into that model of the Ramban, that carrying is just was never also on Yom Tov to finish. It's not Malach Zavayda. There's nothing to talk about. Whereas Tosfos, who puts the brakes on, and Tosfos says, not so simple, not so poshut. Tosfos seems to be understanding that Echol Nefesh is not glat. Echol Nefesh is not great. Well, Echol Nefesh is a reality we have to deal with. Because we have to enjoy Yom Tov, the same way we have to make sure the guy doesn't die by not going to the hospital. So sometimes in life, you have to choose the lesser of the two evils. So we have to choose to be almost like Mevatar and Melechus Yom Tov to enable Bishul on Yom Tov, enable Karen to get that food to the Sukkah on Yom Tov. If that's the case, so then we understand what Taisa says. Each and every time you carry, you have to weigh the pros and the cons. If the risk-benefit, that's the name of the game, risk-benefit. So you have to always make a judgment call. Does it make sense to carry this item on Yom Tov? So if it's a Sefer Torah, yeah. If it's a baby, yeah. If it's a lulav, yeah. If it's a rock for nothing, then no. So that's a very, very different mindset. So that's the case. We really have to go back to the Ramban, because ultimately everything's hinging upon this Ramban. Do we take the attitude that the Echol Nefesh Malachas or Mutal the Gamrei? Or they almost closer to the model of a dechuya than to a model of hutra. Now, whenever we talk about dechuya and hutra, so, you know, alarm bells start going off in our heads, because we don't want to just sit and philosophize about dechuya and hutra. We want some real hardcore evidence, some real hardcore nafkaminas. And the Rishon, who probably puts this in the most practical sense, is the Shittas Aran. It's a very, very famous Aran, beginning of Perek Maseches Beitza. So let's see if we can understand this Aran. The godless, the Amkus Aran, we said so many times last year, remember the Aran is all the Rishon are unbelievable. And I'm not putting any stamp of one over the other, but the Ran has these unbelievable maruchas. The Ran, he speaks like a Rosh Hashiva to us. He speaks the language that we're used to. So the Ran attacks this sugi head on. And he wants to know what the nature of the heter of Eichel Nefesh is all about. Is Eichel Nefesh something that's ultimately like a dechuya deke heter? Or is it, now the Ran calls it chutra. It could mean regular hutra, it could mean almost like more than hutra. Almost like the Rambam, it's almost like a step more than hutra. So that nuance I don't want to get involved in right now. But I do want to present the two tzedarim that the Ran presents to us. What our take is on Eichel Nefesh. Eichel Nefesh is something like which kind of like we're stuck with, so we never have to do. Or is Eichel Nefesh, when my wife is cooking on Yontif, I don't have to be looking, oh yeah, yeah, I'm looking at Chil Yontif here. Oh yeah, yeah, no, I'm not. This is Heta Gomor. So the Ran presents these two tzedarim in the following discussion. Very famous discussion. It starts with the Stirin Gemaras, like most things in the world. One is a Gemara. Let's find it on the Kindness. It'll be great. Hold on. Yeah. One is a Gemara, the 14th of the Marmakimus, a Gemara in Beit Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. You're not allowed to bake from one day of Yom to the next. This is even according to Rabba, mid the Rabbanon, not allowed mid the Raisa, maybe it came, not mid the Rabbanon. But Emes Amru, it was truly said, the phrase Emes Amru, the Yerushalmi says, always means Allah Moshe Mesinai. Interesting. But Emes Amru, we have this tradition, Ish Pepisha Meish Rabbeinu, Memali Isha Kolaka de Rabbosa Avbisha Enetricha Elach Tichachas. When a woman cooks on Yom Tif, she only needs one piece of chicken. That's it. Well, let's say she needs 10 pieces of chicken, 10 people in the family, 10. It is perfectly permissible to put it in an entire pot worth of chicken. She can put 50 pieces of chicken in the same pot, turn on the water, and cook it up, even though she knows full well she doesn't need those extra 40 pieces. But Emes Amru, that's the din, Belishim Safi, Belishim Chaylik. Memal Isha Kalakadeir Boss, Abishay Tzichal Chachas. So what do you see from this din? This is what the Rishonim coined a phrase that's called Riba Bishiurin. Once it's mutter for me to cook a little bit, the sky's the limit. I can throw it all into the same pot. Doesn't mean that I can cook another pot, a different pot. No, that doesn't say I can do it. But in the same pot, if they're achas, that's okay. In contrast, comes the Gemara in Chul and Daf Tezvava Mibes and tells us in the very last line, Hamavashal L'chayle B'Shabbos Osa L'Bari Gzer Shemiyah B'Shvilay. The doctor prescribes some soup for a chayla. He needs a bowl of soup. Chayla sheyesh per sukkah. He must have the bowl of soup. Chashash sukkah. There's no soup around. There's no question I can go and cook up a bowl of soup. I feed the chayla the soup. And he has enough. He feels better. There's a little bit left over. So I want to eat the soup. I want to have a bracha. When was the last time I had a good hot bowl of soup on Shabbos? What a great opportunity to have a hot soup on Shabbos. Shabbos day chicken soup. So the Gemara says, no, you're not allowed to do that. You know why? Asa lebari. Because I were afraid that if we let you partake of the shirayim of the chayla, the next time when you have a chayla on Shabbos, you're going to cook up a lot extra because you remember that good yummy tasting soup from last chayla. So as a gezeira derabbanan to prevent you from adding on extra above and beyond necessary soup, Chazal asked it, but you can't even eat the soup that's left over till Shabbos is over. Asr, Shemiyar b'shvilon. What do you see for this Gemara by saying? That if you would come and ask a Shaila outright, Rabbi, I know that the Chayla needs one bowl, I want to cook the whole pot. What's the answer? You're out of your mind, you can't cook the whole pot of soup. You're crazy. Not only will we not let you cook the pot of soup, we're not even going to let you eat the soup that was left over, Gezeira, you may come to do it. So there's no question that when you're cooking for Chayla on Shabbos, there's an Isra of Riba B'Shiurin. So come to Rishonim and say, I don't understand. Is Riba B'Shiurin Mutter, Riba B'Shiurin Osir? When it comes to Eichel Nefesh, same word. When it comes to oichel nefesh on Yom Tov, we find sky's the limit. As long as you need one piece of chicken, you can cook the whole pot. As long as you need one bowl of soup, you can cook the whole pot. When it comes to pikuach nefesh, we say you got to measure every single drop. This is what the doctor said, that's all, no more. Not an ounce of extra soup. And if you goofed and you made extra soup, you can't even eat it, because gezeira, next time you can add more. So what's our take on Rabbi Shimon? What's our take on, when do we say that I'm permitted to add on to the bareness, to the bare essentials? And when do we say, no, the buck stops here, only what you need is mutter, anything superfluous is also. What's the rule? So the Ran in Beitza quotes machlekes that he had with the Ri. The Ri of Aliatosis. The Ri said, if you take a look at the last line on the 17th of Mamakamas, before we turn the page, I know where we turn the page from here, comes the Ri, Tirich Ri, the Hasam Shabbos Dafka Dikas Askilu Vyotta Disaklavikilu. What does the Ri say? Shabbos versus Yom Tov, that's the difference. That's the line of demarcation. Shabbos will more machmir, Yom Tov will more make it. If you would see an answer like that, Shabbos will more machmir, what kind of an answer do you think? What degree of halacha are we dealing with? This is the very derabbanim de kesvara. Even the word hekilu, hekilu is lashon rabim. The Rabbanu Shalom is lashon yochid. Echad yochid miyuchad. Hekilu means the rabbis, the chachamim. The Ri's opinion was that min haTorah, they're both mutter. Midaraisa, you're allowed to be marbi b'shirin on Yom Tov, and you're allowed to be marbi b'shirin on Shabbos. Once the original ma'isa is mutter, there is nothing preventing bibi ikra adim min haTorah from adding on to it. And even though the doctor only prescribed a bowl of soup, I could cook for the entire camp. A couple of 1,000 bowls of soup, as long as it's the same pot. It's het the gomer min haTorah. If my Shabbat was supervising this hospital, he'd say, just find me one chalonit soup and the entire Klal Yisrael can be treated to hot soup to Shabbos. You can see the caterers lining up at hospitals, trying to chop around that one chayla. That's the Dibur HaTorah. Epis doesn't look right. Pasnish doesn't look right in Shabbos. On Yom Tov, come on, Yom Tov, what's so bad? Yom Tov, there's only a lot anyway in Yom Tov. So if it's mud, it's mud. The Shabbos, we get sitter and we shake on Shabbos. Chumit to Shabbos. Chumit to Yom, Chumit to Chumit. But much more serious, take Shabbos much more seriously than Yom Tov. Come on, one's in a Seskilo, one's a Lav, only Malkus, what's Malkus between friends? So therefore, with the Rabbanan, they threw a slap to the distant Rabbanan called Rebbe Bishirin and Shabbos and Anyot. That's the answer of the Re. It's a very strange Re. Anyone know why? There's something almost problematic with this Re. What did the Gemara Chulin say? Not only are you not allowed to be Mabe Bishviloi, what else? If you did it, you can't even eat it b'diavad. Why? Because less what's going to happen next time? You're going to do it a second time. It's almost smacks a little bit of a gezeir on a what? Like a shtipu gezeir on a derabona. So it's a little bit problematic with the Re saying, but then the Re's not so bothered with that kasha. That's probably the last kasha that the Re's bothered with. But that's the Mahalach, the Halakha Re, the Halakha Re, the Yitzhak Balatesis. That was the answer. Shabbos and Yom Tov are different, albeit on a level of derabona. So the Ran, the next page is becomes it. What do I got? What am I missing here? I got lost in the shuffle here. Oh, I got it. You take it back. Come. The Ran doesn't believe this is true. The Ran tells us there is no question in his mind that Reba B'Shiurin on Shabbos is an Issa Goma Min HaTorah, not even the latest of Suffolk. And says the Ran, I'm going to prove to you that the Re is not correct. What's his Raya? From Gemara Maseches Menachos. His famous Gemara Maseches Menachos. Gemara Menachos has the following Suffolk, fascinating Suffolk. You have a Chali Sheish B'Sakona on Shabbos. The doctor comes to examine him, and the doctor says, you won't believe it. This guy needs figs. This is going to do the trick. The figs are going to save the day. How many figs does he need? That's it. Take two figs and call me in the morning. That's it. Two figs. Two grapes, two to eight, and that's all he needs. Two figs. Less is not going to do the trick. More is unnecessary. Two figs. That's the prescription. Two figs. So he immediately run outside to the fig trees and starts to scramble looking for figs. We look on the ground first to see maybe there's something that fell off before Shabbos. Nope. There's nothing on it. We have to kreutzer. The doctor, we must do kreutzer. The doctor says, what the doctor? The doctor had kapaskit, it's a sofik pekuach nefesh. Are you talking about oila al hadas that you're not going to listen to the doctor? So oila al hadas, you're not going to listen to the doctor. So steht in Shulchan Aruch, befeirish, noch a Shabbos, noch a Yom Kippurim. Belie shum choylik, so choyl, the oilam davar kaze, that the doctor paskin something that someone can have, and somebody disagrees. There's oila al hadas, there's such a thing. In Kol Atah, you must measure a bit of eilach. It's lo yuman kisupah. So comes the doctor and paskins that you have to get two figs. So listen to the Slumdisha guy, goes to the backyard, he notices the following. Again, this is not a kind of pikuach nefesh, every second counts. Every second counts, Hasholah is a shefech domen, so you're not even allowed to ask the shaylas. But it's a kind of pikuach nefesh, not listen, the guy's got an hour, he's not going to die for another hour. Baruch Hashem, plenty of time, get that bincha in the middle, plenty of time to rest, finish Baba Sedra. It's a calm, it's a relaxed pikuach nefesh. There are different, those who know in halacha and in medicine, there are different diagrams of pikuach nefesh. There's chalil, the guy having a heart attack, every second counts. And then there's a woman who's in labor, and barring anything out of the ordinary, she's got plenty of time to get to the hospital. She can't wait till Motei Shabbos, that you're not allowed to do. But, you know, you got time to play with a little bit. So again, there are different dargas. There's pikuach nefesh for every second counts, pikuach nefesh, you have a little bit of time. So apparently this is a pikuach nefesh, you have a little bit of time. But, so the guy goes to the back, and he notices the following. An alumnus of Shiloh presenting itself. It's Gevaldik. Turbot at its best. The doctor, Kapaski, need to train him. And he goes to the backyard, and he sees there are two different options available for him. There's one branch, and apparently, I don't know enough about cutting off figs, but apparently you have to cut off the branch. I have no idea. Maybe the figs are too high up. I can't get into the details. So apparently the option is, these are the two options. There's one branch that has three figs on it. And then there are two other branches with one fig each. Which one do you go for? If you cut the one branch which has three figs, you cut an unnecessary fig off. You did an unnecessary kaitzer because that fig is not even needed for the chayla. On the other hand, if you go basar the two separate branches, so it's true that you got exactly what you need and nothing more, but you did an unnecessary act of kaitzer. Because you could have done one act of kaitzer, one snip, and now you're doing two snips. So the klal gadol in pikuach nefesh is, you have to try to be mamayit. When it's medically feasible, you have to try to be mamayit. So what's called being mamayit here? Which is the lesser of the two evils? Obviously, I would love if I would find two figs on one branch. That would be the great. But life does not always present itself what I would halachically like. So now the world of Torah, we have to react to the reality. The reality on the ground is I have a conflict here. Is it better to do two maisim, thereby not ending up with an extra superfluous fig? Or is it better to do one maisa, forcing me to have a superfluous fig? That's the Gemara Safek in Maseches Menachos. Olam Dishu Safek. The Gemara concludes, "L'mayit b'katzira adif." It is better, it's preferable to do one act of Chilul Shabbos than two acts of Chilul Shabbos. Even though by doing that one act, you're going to end up with an unnecessary, superfluous fig. I can't debate Gemara. Says the Ran, according to the Re, what was the Gemara talking about? What was the latest asofik even according to the Re? According to the Re, Min HaTorah, there's nothing wrong with cutting the branch which has 100 figs on it. Because remember, according to the Re Bishur is but the bit of Torah. According to the Re, you're allowed to cook a pot of soup knowing full well you only need one bowl. There's nothing wrong. Moshe Rabbeinu would forbid that on Shabbos. Doing the extra cutting is clearly an additional malacha, whereas doing the cutting on the one branch, albeit there are extra figs that are superfluous, but that's Re Bishur, which is covered in a Torah. So if the Re is right, that Re Bishur is mutter bin a Torah, so then, why did the Gemara even Eilal Hadas that it would make more sense to make two cuts, perhaps, than to make one cut? In the end of the day, the Maskanas HaDvarim is still better than make one cut. That's true. May Pechatichas Adif. But that's only after much deliberation on the Gemara's part. So the Ran says, HaKorach HaChesif from the Hoshak Matayim Disugya, that Min HaTorah, Re Bishur is a big problem. And therefore, the Gemara was not sure which Diaraisa is worse. They're both potential additional Chilul Shabbos as Deraisa. I have no choice because I'm not presented with the luxury of having one branch with two figs on it. So I have to do more than I would have wanted to do. So that was the suffix of the Gemara. Which is the worst of the, which is the better of the two evils? Is it better to cut a superfluous fig, violating Riba B'Shirim, which is a deraisa concern? Or is it better to do it the other way and to avoid the extra acts of cutting? So it's unclear. That was the suffix of the Gemara. But if the Rebbe is right, the Rebbe Shirin is not really a problem in the Torah in the first place, then the whole suffix of the Gemara doesn't get off the ground. Oh, so you're defending the Rebbe. So you're probably right that the Rebbe is learning to turn around to the Ron and say that the Gemara just kind of threw it out as two theoretical possibilities. And by saying Peshitta, the reason why it's Peshitta is because Rebbe Shimon is on the Durabanan. That's exactly the Peshitta. So that's like a stylistic question. The Ron learned that it was a real shame. The Amoraim was spending hours and hours and hours debating pros and cons of each side. And then the Gemara says, you know what? It's Peshitta that this is more important than the other. But the Ron is learning Peshat textually in the Gemara that the two Tzadim were each independently valid, and each one was a potential deraisa involved, and the Gemara is concluding that it's pshita alone that this deraisa is more important than that deraisa. According to the read textually in the Gemara, the pshita alone is, no, the reason why we're telling you the might the ktsira is because we're sure it's on a derabon. Right? Clearly that's the pshat in the Gemara. Very good, according to the read. Very good. So the Rana is convinced this pshat in the Gemara is correct, but now he has to go back to the drawing board. Now he has to address the issue that the read raised. So imkei manishtana ribishun on yotav than Shabbos. How is it that on Yom Tov it's free, it's hetagom even with the Rabbanon, and on Shabbos it's the Desideraisa? How do you explain that phenomenon? So Zokteran Lefikach. Fourth line in the Ran on the next page, page 5, Lefikach nearly boror. Devada ribishur b'Shabbos with their Isa mitzar. That's the good one. No, I can't argue with it. Rafil Hochi lo domi. Ribi b'shira b'yontef, ribi b'shira d'shabbos. Shahashabbos, d'chuyehi eitzel choyle, v'loi hutra. Pikuach nefesh, zok d'ran, is d'chuyehan Shabbos, it's not hutra. I didn't say everyone agrees to that. That's the Ran's understanding. Pikuach nefesh is d'chuyeh. There you have to think 100 times before you do it. Now again, don't think to the extent of the person dying, but halachically you have to, so to speak, think. Your mindset of driving to the hospital on Shabbos is that you're doing an aveir of dechuyah. Ulefikach. Kol she'ika melacha asar, af toseftai kamayu, umitza mederaisa. Therefore, whenever the ika melacha is asar, the ribui is also awesome. Because when I'm cooking that first bowl of soup, I'm being mechal Shabbos. Nebuch, I'm allowed to because the Torah says, dechuyah, what am I going to do? But I'm doing an act of chilul Shabbos. The only permissibility of doing it is the tzarech hachoyla. So good. If it's the tzarech hachoyla, it's okay. It's the chuya. But it's not the tzarech hachoyla, then it's isur b'mkabi I made. When I cut off that extra, that one branch with the third fig, that third fig is an act of kaitzer in Shabbos. Because quite frankly, the first two are also an act of kaitzer in Shabbos. I was a mechal Shabbos gomer. I don't have to clap a chait for it, and I can still touch wine. But I'm a mechal Shabbos gomer when I drive to the hospital on Shabbos. It says that Kodesh Baruch Hu told me to do it. I have no choice. But I'm a mechal Shabbos. It's a chul Shabbos that Rebbeinu Shalom gave me the stamp of approval to do, but there is the chuyah. So whatever I need, I need. What I don't need, I don't need. So what's going on in Yontif? Zokte ba Yontif, sh'echa nefesh futa boy. Echa nefesh is heta gomor. The feel ev shabib yam Yontif shari. Says the Rav, I'll bring you proof. Even if you could have done it beforehand, there's no mitzvah to cook before Yontif, you cook on Yontif also. Koshu marble ikor. As long as you're being marbalikor, koshu b'tarech echot tesefta kamayu. It's all nigra bos of the original bosu. So since licked in this maisa, when I put that pot of soup on the fire, I'm doing something which is davar mutar. So what's the difference whether there's more soup in there? My nafkamina, there's more soup in the pot. What I'm doing is a ma'isa mutaris. So when I'm doing a ma'isa ha'asr, like on Shabbos, Rechayim, I'm putting a pot of soup on the fire, so the bowl that I'm doing is an isigamr, it's an isigamr Shabbos. So then, the whole ma'isa is called da'as of isr. So the only mat there is the tzarech ha'choyla. If the choyla doesn't need the extra bowls, that's an isr deraisa. Hashayinker and yontif, and what I'm doing is a davar mutar, because the chadav is hutter gamr and yontif. Once the ma'isa's nikva is a ma'isa ha'mutar, so then what's the difference? Well, the extra bowls in there, that's the round. You say, all the aside from the round, you have to read this round over 100 times over. Wait, hold on. Hang it. So this is the famous Yisrael of the Ran, Masechus Beitzah. Nefesh is futra, legamri, nothing to discuss. So we've seen two Rishonim who are expressing this idea that we saw it in the theoretical world of the Ramban, and it's tight linguistically in the text of the Chumash of Melech Zaveda versus Malacha. We see it now down at the trenches, Lamaisa, in the world of the Ran, as to impacting how much soup you can have in the pot. Do we have any real bar plukta on them? Can we point to anyone who disagrees? Our gut feeling is Tosfos disagrees. Our gut feeling is that the Rashi and Tosfos and Beitzah Beis is dependent upon this, but let's hold off for connecting the dots to Rashi and Tosfos yet. Let's still stay back in the theoretical world. Do we have anyone who disagrees? Any great person who has a very different look at Melechus Yontif, as Eichon Nefesh and Yontif, is not willing to call it Chutra, just call it a day and call it Chutra. So there's a famous Sheges Aryeh. Generally, Acharenim didn't disagree with Rishonim, but there were definitely exceptions to that rule. Sheges Aryeh was one of those who did disagree with Rishonim. And especially in this sugi, where there probably are other Rishonim who sided with him. But the Sheges Aryeh has a famous piece, where his entire mahus of his piece is disagreeing with this Ramban and Ran's theory. The Sheges Aryeh's piece is in Uchus Rosh Hashanah. We're discussing the question, is there a mitzvah Simchas Hayom in Rosh Hashanah now? Is there a duum of foresom? It's probably Bachlekes HaRishonim. Is there a mitzvah Simchas Hayom in Rosh Hashanah? So I'm not so interested right now whether the answer is yes or no. I'm much more interested in the Rai of the Sheges Aryeh. Sheges Aryeh says there must be a mitzvah Simchas Hayom in Rosh Hashanah. You know why? Every Jewish woman knows you're allowed to cook in Rosh Hashanah. Your most special man of Eilach, we've been cooking in Rosh Hashanah. Nobody ever said you can't cook in Rosh Hashanah. Says the Sheikh Isariah, how are you talking? How can it be there's a head of Eichon Nefesh in Rosh Hashanah, but there's no mitzvah sachila and simcha in Rosh Hashanah? Isn't it obvious that the engine that's driving the head of Eichon Nefesh is the fact he's supposed to be b'simcha sayoyim? Isn't that obvious? He doesn't just say it mitam atzmo, he has a gemara psachim that he claims says it. It's a sugya in the sixth pack of psachim that he thinks says it. And therefore the Sheges Aryeh says, that gufa is proof positive that there must be a simcha asayim. To say there's no simcha of Rosh Hashanah is impossible. There has to be some simcha asayim of Rosh Hashanah, otherwise it's lo yitochein, it would be het avichon nefesh. So that Sheges Aryeh's raya is fascinating. Whether we agree with the conclusion or not is a different story, but the raya is fascinating. Because the Sheges Aryeh is clearly looking at the head of Eichon Nefesh with the eyes of there's some kind of a great need to cook on Yontif. That means we really shouldn't be cooking on Yontif. Our starting point is not to be cooking on Yontif, and if we're able to cook on Yontif, there's a raya that there's something about Achila and Shtiyah and Simcha on Yontif. Which great Rishon would look at this raya and say, what kind of raya is that? The Ramban would say, I have to explain to you why it's Mutter Kubi Rosh Hashanah? I'll tell you why. V'chaydesh ha-shvi'i b'chad l'chodesh b'gra kodesh yeh lochem kol melechas avidah lo sasu yom teruah yeh lochem. Anyone have any doubt according to Ramban why you're allowed to cook on Rosh Hashanah? Did you hear what I said? Kol melechas avidah lo sasu lo katuv kol melechah lo saseh. It doesn't say that in Rosh Hashanah. It says kol melechas avidah lo sasu. According to the Ramban, it's a no-brainer why you're allowed to cook on Rosh Hashanah. Because it's not Melechas Avodah. According to Ramban, there's no mitzvah Simchas Hayomim. Maybe there isn't. I don't know, and I don't care right now. I'm holding a Chanukah, and I'm holding Rosh Hashanah right now. But according to Ramban, it's not Muchach that there's a Simchas Hayomim in Rosh Hashanah. According to Ramban, the Heder Eichel Nefesh lives in a vacuum. It has nothing to do with the Simchas Hayomim. I do it in Tzarech Hayomim. I do it in Mitzachilah. So the Sheikh's Aryeh, by proving from the Heter Echol Nefesh Rosh Hashanah is a mitzvah sayayim of Simcha, is clearly going down the other route. No question about it. Just in case you're interested, as an aside, the Sheikh's Aryeh wrote another Sefer called Sefer Turi Evan on a few Masechtas. And the Sefer Turi Evan, the Sheikh's Aryeh happens to hold that it's mutter, at least min HaTorah, to get married on Rosh Hashanah. Even though it's awesome in a Torah to get married on the other Yom Tov, even during Chol HaMoed, because Eim Avin Simcha B'Simcha, Sheikh Zayi happens to hold, based on a whole sugya Masechta Ksuba stuff, Membav, he has a whole shtickle Torah, a whole razzle dazzle to tell you that in a Torah you're allowed to get married on Rosh Hashanah, because Eim Avin Simcha B'Simcha doesn't apply to Rosh Hashanah. Which is a very, very startling Sheikh Zayi, because he's the last person in the world who would have expected to say that. Because here the Sheikh Zayi, in his truvis, was the biggest believer that there's a mitzvah simchas yom tov Rosh Hashanah. It can't be otherwise. And yet he's the one who turns around and says, oh, by the way, you can get married on Rosh Hashanah. You know, Eim Bar Mitzvah Simchas doesn't apply. What do you mean it doesn't apply? You yourself just told me there's a mitzvah simchas yom tov Rosh Hashanah. So the answer to that, again, it doesn't impact on our sugi right now, but just I mentioned I can't hold back. It's one of those things. It's those yetzaharas that we talk about all the time. So the Sheikh Zayi obviously understood a brisket teyre. There are two dinim of simchas. Two dinim of simchas yom tov. The Simchas HaMikdash and the Simchas Shar Simachas. The Gemara Pesachim says that Bizman HaMikdash you had to eat shlomim, you had to eat regularly, you ate shlomim on Yom Tov, Bizman HaZeh, you have yayin, maybe basa, whatever, depending on what you think the Gemara said, Bizman HaZeh, but it's not Simchas HaMikdash. So you do Mufursa, Machlekes Tais in the Rambam, but in that second din of Simchas Deraisa de Rabbanan. So the Sheikh Zayah clearly held that the second din of Simcha is a Simcha Deraisa. But it's not the same as Simchas HaMikdash. Simchas HaMikdash L'chud and Simchas Shas Mochas L'chud on the level of their Eisa. When we say that there's a mitzvah Simchas Yom Tov and Rosh Hashanah, it's not Simchas HaMikdash because it's not the regular Rosh Hashanah. Nobody goes to Rosh Hashanah to be Simchas. There's no mitzvah to bring Karbanos in Rosh Hashanah. Because Muslim is brought by the Tzibah, but there's no Shami Simcha. There's nothing. I'm going to the regular Rosh Hashanah. So if you're going to tell me that there's a mitzvah Simchas Hayom and Rosh Hashanah, it's not Simchas HaMikdash. It's a different din. It's the secondary din of Simcha. Simchas Yayin, Simchas Basa, Shai Simachas. And again, the Sheikh Zayi is going to be a Rambam that's a din deraisa. But Simchas HaMikdash is not. The Sheikh Zayi is a Gevald Yechidish. He claims that the Yisr Ve'im Arvin Simcha B'Simcha emanates from Simchas HaMikdash. Because the mokka for that din is Samachte B'Chagech Lom Ishtecha B'Chagech is Loshen Chagigoscha. When you bring a Karbon Chagig, when you bring Shami Simcha, when you bring Karbonis, so those days of Avosa Karbonis are not supposed to be combined together with a chasna. You get married next week, you bring your Karbonis today. They do different Simachos, and you shouldn't mix the two. So Sheikh Zayi understood, when you're dealing with Simchas HaMikdash, that's a gerim, that's the engine that drives the Nisadirai Simcha B'Simcha B'Simcha. But when you're dealing with the Simcha B'Yalom of Simcha Shai Simachos, which is Nishkin Simchas HaMikdash, then it's Tachan Alissa. So it's not a steer between the two Sheikh Zayis. Let's just get, as an aside, it doesn't impact our Ramban right now, but just a nice piece of information you should know. So we're basically getting back to our sugya. So we seem to have connected all the dots. Because yesterday we spoke a lot about Rashi and Tosfos, about whether min HaTorah you require Tzarech Hayom Ktzas. Rashi says absolutely not. And Tosfos says absolutely yes. And now we have this machlokes developing as to what our take is what I take is on the head of Echol Nefesh. Is Echol Nefesh a Dechuyedik Adin, like the Sheikh Zayi's understanding, or is it much more of a Chutchedik Adin, like the Ramban/Ran's understanding? Huh? What happened? I just lost you guys. We lost you. What happened? Okay. Shana Moko, Shana Mazel. Okay. Okay, so you guys are for the last minutes. So we didn't say anything else. We just said that yesterday Shia and today Shia seemed to be totally Zebazah. If you really believe that Echol Nefesh is Dechuya, it sounds like you should be the ones who are insisting on Tzarech HaYom Tzatz. If you hold that it's Chutra, it sounds like you shouldn't be believing that. You shouldn't be necessitating that. You shouldn't be worried about that at all. It sounds like the two Shiurim yesterday and today are totally Zebazah. So basically, we have to iron out some of the details of this. Let me explain to you why. There was a line in the Ran, I read it really, really quickly, I wonder if anyone really picked up on. There was a line in the Ran where he was trying to support his theory that Echol Nefesh is Hutra. It's got to be Hutra. Anyone saw the line in there? He probably said it like in three words. I'm telling you, the Ran, Echol Nefesh is Hutra. Don't tell me otherwise. Anyone see what his Raya was? What was his raya? His proof positive that it's Hutra? If I have a choice between cooking food at Erev Yontif and on Yontif, there's nothing that's compelling me to cook at Erev Yontif. I have all the Erev Yontif, I'm doing nothing all day Erev Yontif, doing absolutely nothing. I'm not mukhif to start cooking there. I cook tomorrow, what's the big deal? The Ran says we don't find anywhere in Halacha that you have to cook Erev Yontif dafka. That is a very hutritic asvar. You know why? Because let's say I have a chayv on Shabbos, imagine, and I can take care, I can cut off the figs on Erev Shabbos. Let's say the doctor tells me on Friday, you're going to need figs for this chayv tomorrow. I'm allowed to take the attitude, no problem. I'll worry about it tomorrow. No, you got to do it today. You're not allowed to be set up a situation of chil Shabbos. So the efshir versus, the efshir be yayim, whether you have to act on that or not, is the litmus test whether somebody's the chayv hutra. That's the chayv makes a lot of sense. Rabbi, that doesn't bode well, and I'll tell you why. There's a very, very famous Rashi. I should have put it on the Mamakonis. But the beginning of the third parak of Masechet Beitz, I don't think I put it on right. But Rashi says, Echol Nefesh is great and wonderful and phenomenal, but if it's Efshir Mibiyod Yom, you better do it Mibiyod Yom. That doesn't sound well. Doesn't strike a good chord for us. Why? Because Rashi, who is the biggest believer in Chutra? What let us believe? What forced us to believe that? That's Rashi Shita and Beit Stefi Beis, that you're allowed to cook for no tzarich, you're allowed to care for no tzarich. That's a Chutra, man. If Rashi is going down the route of Chutra, so why is Rashi chepering us and telling us to make sure you do it B'Yod Yom? L'chai the Ram is right. Chutra means you don't have to bother doing it B'Yod Yom. The Chuyah means you have to do it B'Yod Yom. So that Rashi is very, very, very problematic. So basically, I thought we'd finish the sugya today, but I guess not. Hopefully Mitzvah tomorrow. We'll pick up with that Nakuda of Rashi, and then we have one last Nakuda about the Rans, and we'll kind of make a siyum on the sugya. And then, believe it or not, hopefully Mitzvah tomorrow, by sight, we're going to start to learn, if all's well, by Rav Motzi. We have not yet learned by Rav Motzi this year. That may sound like a strange statement. If you think about it, we've learned a lot of Tashbisa this year, but we haven't really learned by Rav Motzi. So hopefully Mitzvah tomorrow, we're going to get off and running into the heart and, you know, and so the signature by Rabbi Matsu. We still have a little bit more to finish up in terms of the text. Okay.